Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Matt Baglio. Matt is a reporter living in Rome and has written for the Associated Press and the International Herald Tribune. We're going inside the pages of The Rite, The Making of a Modern Exorcist, published by Doubleday. Matt, this book is one I could not put down. So beautifully written. It is a story of a journey of a particular priest, Father Gary, who is asked by his bishop to become an exorcist for the diocese. It's his journey, but it's also a fascinating exploration of what modern day exorcism and how it's understood in the church and how you blended it all together into just this garment. Just fantastic. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, that definitely was one of the challenges, I think, was trying to present the topic itself, because it can be approached from so many different angles. And I think what's really unique about this story is with Father Gary's involvement and his training, it really gives that human side to this subject.
How did you get involved in this story?
Well, I was, as a reporter here in Rome, I'd heard about this course being taught at a Vatican-affiliated university, and I was very curious. I was raised Catholic, but didn't know anything about exorcism, and I thought it was for sure something that I should be checking out, maybe writing an article about it or something like that. I just, also fascinated by the idea that a university could teach a course on exorcism. So I went down to this university, really not knowing what I would find, thinking of perhaps some of the more stereotypical concepts of exorcism and demonic possession from Hollywood movies, and was very surprised by what I found. And one of the things that really surprised me was, of course, Father Gary himself and some of the other students. These weren't fundamentalist, puritanical individuals. They're very thoughtful, educated, humble individuals. And so that was really the start. It was just me going down to the course, meeting Father Gary, and then realizing that I didn't know the first thing about exorcism. And if I didn't know that, maybe it would be an interesting topic that other people would like to learn something about as well.
It is a subject that seems to, maybe after a Vatican tour, maybe the making of the movies, where there are those within the church who would like to pretend that it doesn't exist, that somehow, that's superstitious nonsense. And and it really is compelling how many priests actually are not even acquainted with what the rite entails.
That was one of the most surprising things to me, as a layperson, was the first thing Father Gary said to me, was very honest, was that he didn't know anything about exorcism. He'd never been taught anything about it, and I found that, to be very fascinating. Why don't priests know about this stuff? Aren't they taught these kinds of things? And, through the research, talking to a lot of spiritual directors from some seminaries and finding out, why that is, it was interesting, and I think you're right in some sense that, especially during the 60s and 70s, you had a lot of things going on in sociological revolution, these kind of things in America. Vatican II was opening up the church to a lot of different things, and I think a lot of priests, and this was, again, told to me by Father Gary himself, who was ordained in the early 80s, and he had entered the seminary in the late 70s. And that was his experience, was this turmoil of that of those decades. And I think it was just easy for priests to, see some of the advances going on, and rightly so, things like epilepsy, and we were learning a lot about the psychoanalysis and mental illness. And, there was just, I think, a movement towards looking at these things, being more scientific, and not, believing in things that were considered to be medieval on those lines, even though, of course, they weren't, and that's really the battle that exorcists have today. It's one of the main things that exorcists like Father Gabriel Amoris, and even some within the hierarchy of the church, Pope John Paul II, now Pope Benedict XVI, have been coming out and saying, this is a part of our faith, and it's something that we need to be aware of. and priests especially need to be aware of this, because in the case of Father Gary, he was able to find this out firsthand, that there were lots of priests who were getting people, receiving people, having people come to them saying, I've had this problem in my life, I've had this situation happen to me, you know, these objects are moving around my house, or whatever it is, and priests just not being prepared, not really knowing how to deal with that.
Matt, this book, The Rite, is one of those I wish I could get in the hands of every priest that I know, as well as, and lay faithful as, too, because I don't think you sensationalize any of it, actually, and you never truly overstate the power of the devil. I mean, that's another thing. You are so incredibly balanced on this book that as I'm reading it, I was never entirely, dare I say it, creeped out, which you can with some books that have been written on this subject. And yet, you also make a very important point that exorcism is not a magic formula. It is actually a very long process that is very spiritual and yet clinical in its approach.
I think, you know, when I first began this project, I was really turned off by a lot of books who that either they just came at the subject with a really preconceived bias. You know, they were either every problem is caused by a demon or demons don't exist. And I think really at its heart, as you touched on, that this book, my goal wasn't to scare people. And it's really not a book about demons. It's a book about a priest and him rediscovering the power of prayer and him becoming an exorcist. So in a lot of ways, it's a very uplifting story, despite, you know, some of the darker tones, you know, of the subject matter. And really was my goal to sort of sensationalize the topic, because I really think that when you're dealing with exorcism, and again, this was the approach of the course as well, very straightforward, you know, very factual. I wanted to be as objective as possible to give all sides a chance to, you know, to express their views without ridicule or you know, trying to paint a picture before a person reads the book. And I think that was really important, because I think too many people have the wrong idea about this topic, and they are, let's say, they're attracted to it for various reasons, for Hollywood type of, you know, reasons of seeing these kind of sensationalistic aspects of exorcism. And again, as you mentioned, for me, personally, once I got the research as well, and I really saw that it was more of a journey, it's a spiritual journey for people, and exorcism itself is more about reconnect into the sacrament, going back to church, back to Mass. I mean, even for Father Gary himself, I mean, once he started to see exorcism in that light, it made it much more, much easier for him to, you know, share his experiences, talk about it with other people as well.
I think we deal with a scientific and medical community that, as you put, scorned that a person could be healed, quote unquote, through prayer. And yet there is evidence that in many cases, the spiritual aspect and dimension of a person's life is as vital as the physical.
Sure. I mean, even scientists are looking at this, which I found fascinating. I mean, many people, especially when it comes to exorcism, spirits, these kind of things, many people assume that the scientific community is unified. They're on, you know, they're completely skeptical. And they all have the same idea about how to explain these phenomena, but they don't. And some of them are competing against each other. And of course, if you look at the work of anthropologists, they're really going into native societies and they're finding out that rituals, you know, ritualistic ceremonies can have a healing power. And especially, you know, if you're looking at prayer and ways that people are being helped in that way. I mean, there are some scientific studies that are going on to really document how that works, and I think to just discount it completely is a little premature. Of course, when you look at something like exorcism, it's very specific. It's a you know, it's a very specific ritual. The church is very, actually, it's rightly so, in being very reserved about using it. I mean, it's sort of a last resort. It isn't just a blessing. That goes on quite often, you know, a priest blessing at home or blessing an individual. But when it comes to exorcism, you know, the ritual is very specific. The exorcist has to be very cautious. And I think that's the right approach. I think that in the past, perhaps, other denominations, too much importance has been given to evil spirits and how they can influence us and all these kinds of things. And the Catholic Church is very, very upfront about the fact that, you know, we are still responsible. It's up to our, we have the choice. It's free will. And even though, let's say, the church, you know, believes that demons are there, they're not out there causing people to sin. You know, you're still responsible for your own action.
Yeah, that's the thing that I found fascinating in this, is that it's not just about opening up the ritual book and then here are the prayers that you say and this is how it happens. It's so much deeper than that, because you really have to take a look at the person. And usually the devil and his activities, you know, there are limits on that. And as you point out, there's the ordinary activity of the devil. Do you care to explain that a little bit?
Sure. According to The Exorcist, the devil's activity, and theologians as well, is basically divided into two sections. One is the ordinary activity, which is basically temptation, and this is perhaps what everybody has to deal with. Now, as Thomas Aquinas says, however, that doesn't mean that every single temptation comes from the devil. Thanks to original sin and all these kinds of things, we have our own weaknesses. So that's the ordinary activity. Now, the extraordinary activity is typically broken down into obsession. And first is infestation, which is the haunting of a house or a location. Then is oppression, which is like a physical exterior force. Some saints have been afflicted by this. Padre Pio is one especially. Obsession is a mental attack, so to speak. And then there's, of course, demonic possession, which is the most dramatic. Now, these aren't a series of steps either. One can happen, and just an infestation, for instance, and not a possession, according to what exorcists say. And, as you mentioned earlier, it's very important to see that it isn't a magic ceremony when you look at exorcism. It's not. The priest doesn't have any magic powers. He's not there to snap his finger and make all this go away. It's much more up to the individual, and as you said, the exorcist is there to understand the life of the individual, the issues that may be going on in their life, why they may have metaphorically opened up a doorway, so to speak. And, it's looking through the sacraments, through the sacramental of exorcism, because it is a sacramental, and helping people to, return their focus onto God. And, so to speak, in that sense, the exorcist is praying over the person, but he's really invoking, Jesus and the power of the prayer. It's not really the exorcist himself who has any power at all. So, and that's really important for exorcists themselves to understand. And that's one of the things that Father Gary really internalized early on. He wanted to really, take on that sort of mantle. And he's very humble. And in fact, many exorcists are. They're incredibly humble, down to earth. When they perform the ritual, they don't shout over people. They're not grandstanding or anything like that. So I found that to be also very interesting.
Well, that really speaks highly of the humility that they have, that would be the opposite of pride, which in itself would be a sign of sin, which would be very problematic in someone who is trying to expel evil, the devil. So that humility that comes from that, and also their role as priest, that character of the priest because of their ordination and fulfilling that role of Christ, that is essential too in the rite. I mean, this is not one of those things where somebody who is a lay person feels, oh, I can be an exorcist, I can just say these prayers. It really is the whole formation of the man who essentially performs this rite. I mean, that's important, isn't it?
That's very important. Actually, when you look at how the Catholic Church approaches exorcism, because, of course, almost every denomination has a form of exorcism. But when you look at the Catholic Church's approach, it's very tied into the hierarchy of the Church. That the bishops have to appoint an exorcist. Of course, officially, the bishop is actually the exorcist of the diocese, but very few bishops perform exorcism, so they usually delegate that authority. And, the ritual, and I go over this in the book, talks about the various qualities that an exorcist should have. And it's very true that there is this approach through the Church, through the history of the Church and the traditions of the Church. And I think for Catholics specifically, they have this history and tradition to fall back on. And for priests like Father Gary, it's a great benefit. And that certainly was stressed in the course as well.
In that extraordinary activity of the devil, there's the infestations, the oppressions, the obsessions, which are documented in the lives of the saints. They experience these things and they can be handled. The actual possession of a person is very rare, actually, isn't it?
It is very rare. And, you know, the other thing which I found interesting, of course, and this goes back to the idea of the Course and spirits and who are these demons and what the Church teaches on this. You know, when I went into this, I thought I had a very pedestrian idea of what a demon was. You know, I perhaps thought of a Hollywood movie, and it's very silly, you know, you think, or folkloric tales of a half goat and all these kind of things. And really, when you get into the teachings of the Church, it's quite fascinating. Essentially, these are incorporeal spiritual beings. They don't have bodies. They don't exist physically in a place. So when they're said to possess somebody, they're not physically inside their body. It isn't that they're holding up or manipulating their body in some way. What's happening, and this is how one exorcist described it to me, it's like they're connected by a pipe. And so they send these inputs through this pipe into this individual. And then, of course, during the ritual itself, what happens is what's said to happen is that the prayers will stimulate this spiritual being that then will be forced to sort of come through that pipe and be there present in person. Now, the idea that a demon is completely in control of somebody and that they go out and they do things, that's just not really how it works. I mean, again, this just goes back to free will, which is that if demons exist, they don't want to take over somebody's body and make them go out and commit murder or crimes. That really doesn't, you know, serve their purpose. What they're really trying to do is sever that communion that a person has with God. You know, of course, as Catholics, we believe that all goodness comes from God, so we want to keep the focus on God. And really what these spirits are said to be all about is to take that focus away. So it's really to drive the person away. It's to make the person turn against God. So it's really that choice you make. It's like whispering in your ear, you know, do this thing, and then you say, okay, I'll do it. And in a sense, you've committed your own, you've committed the sin. It isn't that the demon has made you commit it.
And that's, I think, the pastoral aspect of the exorcist is that, again, they become, as you pointed out, more of a spiritual director in a way, because they're helping the person be able to conquer it, to conquer the demon. It's ultimately to be able to renounce that and to grow into that deeper relationship with God.
Right, exactly. And typically these people aren't religious to start with, or they've fallen away from their faith. You know, they don't have a strong faith life, they don't pray. And so that's really the goal is of the exorcist, is really to pray over the individual through the power of the prayer, that the power of the demon is said to be weakened, and so that they are able to return to church, to return to praying again. And it's a whole process, and usually it's a process that brings along many people with it. If their family members aren't churchgoers, maybe they'll return to church. Maybe the community itself will get behind the individual. You know, so that's the process that exorcists say is really going on, and that's the spiritual journey. And as you say, it is very pastoral, and that, I think, for Father Gary was something, in addition, that he was something that was really, you know, excited about, because he is a pastor now, and he does think about, you know, helping people and guiding them and bringing them back to this communion with God. But really, that's at its heart, that's what it's about. It's about an individual who makes the decision to take their focus away from God, either through, you know, the various ways that I go into in the book that a person can open themselves up to. The Church says that a person can open themselves up to an attack. And so the exorcist helps them to reconnect and in a sense, you know, make that connection again. And from that, in that perspective, I think, looking at exorcism, it makes a lot more sense than, I think, what many people consider exorcism to be, which is some demon going inside a person, living there, you know, making them do terrible things, and then the exorcist coming in, throwing holy water. It's a violent, you know, battle to the last man standing, to the last days on end, and then it's essentially a snap of a finger, and then the person's freed. It's not really like that. I mean, I think that's really the Hollywood version that the Church itself really wants to get away from.
Well, they can fit that into 2 hours. And, yeah. You know, essentially that's
yeah.
what...
Yeah. So that into 2 hours. But unfortunately, people themselves have that approach. And I think I've talked to some exorcists in the States especially, but, you know, and it happens here in Italy a lot, too. People come to them saying, things aren't going well in my life because of a demon. This is going, you know, pray over me, make it all better. And the exorcist, first of all, will say, you know, there's nothing spiritually and demonically wrong with you. You know, this is very rare, and they tend to start out small anyways by saying, well, do you go to church, and do you pray? And usually the answer is no. And they go, well, why don't you start by going to church, going to confession? Confession is a big thing. It's very important. And the persons, especially in America, will say, well, you know, I don't really find that exciting enough. You know, pray over me, do something exciting, because that's really what they expect.
Not like you're walking down the street and the demon jumps into you. There's usually something, a door has been opened somehow, whether actions, maybe something that happened in childhood or something that we consciously do, whether it's dabbling in the occult or it's having even one of those things where someone has that whole concept of cursing, which, I mean, Scripture talks very how we are not to curse and not to use those elements, because it can open that doorway into the evil that lurks out there in the world.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. There are various ways in which the church says, you know, a person can open themselves up to this kind of thing. And it is about, it is an interior thing, except for curses, which is slightly different. But it goes back to the notion of free will. You know, we all have a choice to either do good or evil. Presumably those who would curse somebody else, their desire to do evil isn't somehow being granted. But again, this all goes back to the notion of God being in control. You know, the Catholic Church believes that the devil's created being. God is really the one who's in charge, and he allows the devil to do certain things, you know, based off of free will. And of course, the theologians have said it's generally justified by turning evil to good. But there's still a lot of mystery involved, and it isn't a, you know, black and white issue. But basically, it's not. It is about the person's choices, and it isn't contagious. Demonic possession isn't contagious. Isn't something that you can catch, according to the church. Isn't something you can catch if you're with a person, you know, or in some silly way. And again, if you, according to the exorcist I talked to, if you pick up a Ouija board or you have a book in your house, it isn't that is going to immediately bring a demon, you know, in knocking, so to speak. It's more to do about the choice of becoming addicted to a certain sin, or, you know, becoming dependent on the occult as a source of your answers. And again, this just goes back to, you know, basically taking your focus away from God. And that is sort of what's going on, metaphorically opening up the door. But ultimately, it's still a mystery. It's still up to God why one individual can become possessed versus why another can't. Of course, there are those ways we just discussed, and those are good benchmarks, exorcists say, to avoid, absolutely.
Yeah, I do appreciate the fact that the exorcist will work with psychologists and psychiatrists who have a strong faith life, who can appreciate that, you know, first we need to take a look at the mental state of someone and the physical state and what other factors may be playing into this before there's even the acknowledgement that there may be something beyond those factors. It could be the devil, or it could be, you know, those evil spirits that are entreated on that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the ritual itself is very specific about that the priest should work with psychiatrists and mental health professionals and doctors. And yeah, of course, just in the States, many priests do that anyways. I mean, they're very conscious about, specifically Father Gary, is very conscious about a person suffering. And if you have a person who's, let's say, schizophrenic or they're delusional, they may feel like their voices are talking to them and that are demons. And there's a very natural explanation for that. And you certainly wouldn't want to begin praying an exorcism over them, because that could fix them in a state of thinking their problems are demonic or that they don't have to take their medication, you know, all these kinds of things. So I think exorcists are rightly skeptical and about it, about approaching through that through the lens of psychiatry. I mean, people need to have exorcists, let's say, they need to really screen out all individuals that are suffering from mental illness and have all these other issues going on in their life. Of course, there's other phenomena that could convince a person of becoming possessed when they're not. You know, we're talking about leading questions or hypnosis or these kinds of things, where a well-intentioned person could, you know, through his own actions, just convince somebody else who was maybe perhaps weak-minded that they may be suffering from an evil spirit or something like that, when it's not the case. Now, having said all that, that doesn't mean that a priest couldn't bless a person. That goes without saying. I mean, priests can bless people every day. It we're just talking about specifically performing an exorcism. And again, it's because an exorcism is such a big thing. It's also very suggestive in the sense that, you know, you have a priest who's standing there saying, invoking the name of Jesus, I cast you out, evil spirit. So really, this isn't a stopping priests from blessing people, praying over people. It's just to say that to perform an exorcism, the priest has to be incredibly sure that the person he's praying over is, in his mind, being, you know, suffering from an evil spirit.
And that's why they receive the special training and get the guidance on this, and it should be left up to their knowledge to be able to perform that. And thank goodness that they are out there and they have that background. Going to my girl Teresa of Avila, who, you know, made it very clear that even if those spirits that prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls, their master is the devil, well, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be to him. There's the trump card. It's what we appeal to.
Yeah, I had one exorcist tell me that, you know, I think the notion that exorcists can be hurt and all these kinds of things, he said that it's really a position of power when you're talking about the prayer. I mean, the demon has to do what we, what we say. I mean, because it's essentially, you know, you're being, this evil spirit is being commanded in the name of Jesus. And most of the violent reactions that people have during the ritual itself are, you can hear the guttural voice, you can hear these gruff things, and some pretty crazy phenomena can happen. You know, people can vomit up objects that disappear, there can be levitations. It's quite common for somebody to be able to know, you know, perhaps not quite common, I should say, but in the stronger cases, for them to be able to perhaps read the mind of the exorcist or know something about their life that's hidden. But again, these are all just, it's like a show, a magician's, you know, kind of trying to distract. It's just a show. It's like a big circus, because basically the demon is just trying to stop the exorcist from praying the ritual. That's exactly the only thing it's really trying to do. It's trying to intimidate, to tempt, to do whatever it can to stop the exorcist from praying the ritual, because that prayer is really what is really hurting it. And so most of the exorcists don't pay any attention to that. They just head down, keep focused, and pray the ritual.
Matt, thanks for joining us today. The Rite, the Making of a Modern Exorcist. I wish we had more time. Any final thoughts?
First of all, thank you very much for having me on. And again, I just want to stress that the book, may seem like a dark subject to a lot of people, but it really is this spiritual journey for this priest. And it's more about rediscovering the power of prayer. And Father Gary himself understanding that, you know, though even though evil exists, there's a way to defeat it, and it's through his commitment to this ministry.
We've been going inside the pages of Matt Beglio's book, The Rite, The Making of a Modern Exorcist. To obtain a copy of this book, go to www.doubleday.com, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.